You're listening to Come Follow Me Weekly, a weekly podcast with thoughts and insights for the Come Follow Me lessons of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Heather Weber. Thanks for being here with me this week. The title of this week's lesson is I Speak Unto You As If You Were Present, and it covers Mormon chapters 7 through 9. I want to take a minute and just thank everyone who has reached out to me about my new calling as the Young Women's President. I've had some good conversations with people and good things to think about. I really appreciate everyone. You've been an answer to my prayers, and I appreciate that. I think it's been universally decided that the hardest thing about our callings is working with other adults. I think for the most part, the kids and the youth are still pretty malleable. They're still pretty up for anything and willing to listen and do what they're asked. But I think as adults, we're just set in our ways. We like things the way we like them. Having new programs, new ways of doing things is sometimes hard for us. And I don't know, I think we're all just learning and growing together. And callings are good, even though they're hard, even though sometimes we're asked to do things that maybe we rather would not do. I think it's good. It helps us to grow and helps us to become the people that our Heavenly Father needs us to be. But thank you again for sharing your thoughts with me. The opening paragraph of this lesson says, Mormon and Moroni knew what it felt like to be alone in a wicked world. For Moroni, the loneliness must have been especially severe after his father died in battle and the Nephites were destroyed. I even remain alone, he wrote. I have not friends nor whither to go. Things may have seemed hopeless, but Moroni found hope in his testimony of the Savior and his knowledge that the eternal purposes of the Lord shall roll on. And Moroni knew that a key role in those eternal purposes would be played by the Book of Mormon, the record he was now diligently completing, the record that would one day shine forth out of the darkness and bring many people to the knowledge of Christ. Moroni's faith in these promises made it possible for him to declare to the future readers of this book, I speak unto you as if you were present, and I know that ye shall have my words. Now we do have his words, and the Lord's work is rolling forth, in part because Mormon and Moroni stayed true to their mission, even when they were alone. I love the last part of that. We have these things to help us every day because Mormon and Moroni chose to keep going, even when it was hard. This week's reading is only 3 chapters, but to me, these are some of the most heartfelt chapters in the Book of Mormon. In chapter 7, we have the last records of Mormon. And I was so sad when I read this chapter because I feel like Mormon has kind of been our study buddy all along the way so far, as he was the one who put these records together, and every once in a while he would interject some of his own thoughts. This year, I've really come to love Mormon, and I appreciate so much his faithfulness and his willingness to do what he was asked to do, even when it was hard. He's just a great example to me of someone who keeps going, even when things are difficult. He saw a lot of sorrow and a lot of tragedy in his lifetime, but that didn't stop him from staying true to what he knew was right, even when everyone around him was doing the opposite. In chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, Mormon leaves us with this. He says, Therefore, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall be set before you, not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews, which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you. For behold, this is written for the intent that ye may believe that, and if you believe that, you will believe this also. And if you believe this, you will know concerning your fathers, and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. And you will also know that ye are a remnant of the seed of Jacob. Therefore, ye are numbered among the people of the first covenant. And if it so be that ye believe in Christ and are baptized, first with water, then with fire and with the Holy Ghost, following the example of our Savior, according to that which he hath commanded us, it shall be well with you in the day of judgment. Amen. In the lesson, it asks the question, why might Mormon have chosen this message to conclude his writings? And I think that Mormon is a really good example of someone who literally knew the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he saw in his own life the results of someone who lived it. And in everyone around him, he saw the results of what happens when we turn away from the things that we know are right. He saw his own nation literally be destroyed. The Nephites were beyond hope because they refused to acknowledge the Lord in their lives. He's basically telling us that the Bible and the Book of Mormon go hand in hand. And through both of them, we have the true path to happiness and joy in this life and in our life to come. Mormon knew where to find the truth, and he knew that he needed to share that truth with anyone who would listen. And he gives us the pattern. If we believe in Christ, make covenants, and follow the Savior, and if we can do our best in those things, we'll be just fine. The next section of the lesson talks about how the Book of Mormon is of great worth. And it shares this question by President Nelson, who asked, "If you were offered diamonds or rubies or the Book of Mormon, which would you choose? Honestly, which is of greater worth to you?" And at first, that might seem like kind of a silly question because, honestly, we're not going to be offered literal diamonds or rubies. But it can make us stop and think about, what are we putting ahead of the gospel in our lives? Maybe Netflix is your ruby that you trade for time in the scriptures, or your body image, or your social media presence, or our pride about any number of things. Those could all be figurative diamonds or rubies that we put at a higher priority than the gospel. And as I thought about this myself, it was a good reflective moment to think about what I'm putting ahead of the gospel in my own life and what is of the greatest importance to me. It's something that we all do because we're human, but I think it's very worthwhile to take a moment every once in a while and check our priorities. This weekend, my husband and I moved around some furniture in our living room. We've lived with that room just like it is for about 6 years, and it's been fine. But we were amazed as we moved one piece of furniture to a different spot, how it just opened up the whole room and gave us a totally new perspective and a new view that we had never had before. I think sometimes in our lives, we just get used to the way things are, and maybe our priorities are out of whack and we don't even realize it. But moving around a few things and adjusting a little bit can give us a new perspective and allow us to have a totally new view of things and find new and better ways to move forward. President Nelson also said, "My dear brothers and sisters, I testify that the Book of Mormon is truly the Word of God. It contains the answers to life's most compelling questions. It teaches the doctrine of Christ. It expands and clarifies many of the plain and precious truths that were lost through centuries of time and numerous translations of the Bible. The Book of Mormon provides the fullest and most authoritative understanding of the atonement of Jesus Christ to be found anywhere. It teaches what it really means to be born again. From the Book of Mormon, we learn about the gathering of scattered Israel. We know why we are here on earth. These and other truths are more powerfully and persuasively taught in the Book of Mormon than in any other book. The full power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is contained in the Book of Mormon, period." In chapter 8, we are introduced to Moroni. And he's the son of Mormon, and he was one of the 24 Nephites who were not killed at the Battle of Cumorah. But in this chapter, we find out that after that battle, the Lamanites tracked down the remaining 24 people and killed all of them, including his father Mormon. And the only person left alive was Moroni. So here he is, all alone. And you can almost feel his grief in these chapters. These are really beautiful scriptures, and I think they touched my heart so much because Moroni had zero motivation other than to speak what was in his heart. He was alone. His family and everything he knew was gone. And he's just telling it like it is, very plainly. He tells us that now that the Nephites are gone, the Lamanites are at war with each other, and there are only Lamanites and robbers left in the land. In verse 22, Moroni tells us that the eternal purposes of the Lord shall roll on until all his promises shall be fulfilled. Moroni has also seen our day, and it was not good. In verses 35 through 37, he says, "Behold, I speak unto you as if you were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shown you unto me, and I know your doing. And I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts, and there are none save a few only who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquities. And your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. For behold, ye do love money and your substance and your fine apparel and the adorning of your churches more than ye love the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted." And he goes on about our struggles and what it's like in our day. And this is another reason why the Book of Mormon is so valuable to us. We can see through all of these people and their experiences what can happen when we follow what we know and what happens when we don't. It's truly a cautionary tale for our day right now today. It's been completely amazing to me how these lessons this year have seemed to follow right along with the things going on in the world. I think it was absolutely no coincidence that we've been studying the Book of Mormon this year. I feel like our Heavenly Father is just doing everything he can to try and help us prepare for the future. The world is changing, and not in a good way, and we need to rise above that. I feel like our Heavenly Father and our Savior are expecting more of us than they have in the past because they know that we can rise to the challenge and make our little corners of the world better by living and sharing what we know. And studying the Book of Mormon can help us know exactly how to do that. In chapter 9, Mormon is speaking to people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. In verses 5 and 6, he says, "For behold, when ye shall be brought to see your nakedness before God, and also the glory of God, and the holiness of Jesus Christ, it will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. O then, ye unbelieving, turn ye unto the Lord, cry mightily unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that perhaps ye may be found spotless, pure, fair, and white, having been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb at that great and last day." In verse 14, he tells us the importance of living what we know in this life and not procrastinating those things that we know are right. He says, "And then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them, and then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still, and he that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still." He teaches us that who we are and how we are will carry on with us into the next life. And since we never know when that next life will be upon us, it's to our benefit to do the best we can every day. I also loved verse 21 where he says, "Behold, I say unto you that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth." This past weekend, we had testimony meeting in our ward. And it was our first testimony meeting since March. And every person who spoke talked about how hard this year has been, but also about how many blessings they had seen and the miracles that had happened in their lives and in the lives of their families. And that morning, my husband and I had been having the same conversation about our own family. We've seen a lot of just little unexpected miracles and blessings this year. We got some extra tax money back that we hadn't expected, just little things along the way that have helped us this year. And one theme that I've seen over and over again as I've been studying the Book of Mormon this year is that the Lord does not forget his people. And that doesn't just mean members of our church. I think it's anyone who is trying to do good things in their lives. When we try, we are blessed every single time. In verse 27, Moroni says, "O then, despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him." I really loved this past general conference, but to me, it wasn't really full of the comforting messages that I was hoping for. I felt like they were telling us that we need to prepare ourselves for the future, and that the future might be a little challenging. I feel like the time for just sliding by is over. We need to take a stand and stand for the truth. I loved Elder Holland's talk where he quoted Elder Maxwell in saying that our lives can't be both faith-filled and stress-free. He says, "It simply will not work to glide naively through life, saying as we sip another glass of lemonade, 'Lord, give me all thy choicest virtues, but be certain not to give me grief, nor sorrow, nor pain, nor opposition. Please do not let anyone dislike me or betray me, and above all, do not ever let me feel forsaken by thee or those I love. In fact, Lord, be careful to keep me from all the experiences that made thee divine. And then, when the rough sledding by everyone else is over, please let me come and dwell with thee, where I can boast about how similar our strengths and our characters are as I float along on my cloud of comfortable Christianity." He says that Christianity is comforting, but it is often not comfortable. And I think it's going to get less and less comfortable as the years go on until that great day when our Savior finally comes again. And we just need to choose right now whose side we want to be on. Moroni goes on to tell us, "Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God." And then in verse 30, he says, "Behold, I speak unto you as though I spake from the dead, for I know that ye shall have my words." And here we are reading them. So let's not let Mormon and Moroni and Nephi and Abinadi and Ammon and Samuel and Lehi and Alma and Amulek and everyone else's experiences that we have read about and studied this year go to waste. Let's take their experiences and advice and let them work in our lives and touch our hearts so that we can then act and become better through their great examples. The Book of Mormon is a miracle, and it blesses my life every time I study its words, and I know it can do the same for you. And those are a few of my thoughts for this week's lesson. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. Don't forget that you can find me on Instagram at comefollowmeweekly, or you can email me at cfmweekly@gmail.com. I hope you all have a good day.